I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, you
politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the wonderful world of Art Cop Radio. Boy, we got a bang-up show for you today. We got a full lineup of stuff. We're going to check in with the McLaughlin Group. We're going to smack Joe Biden around a little bit. We're going to say some good things about Howard Dean and some bad things about the people that don't like him. Got, I think, 7 phone calls. Getting about 25 phone calls per show, but we're trying to pick the best 7. Got a whole bunch of making fun of Bush because I know how much you like that. So tell you what, instead of me wasting a lot of time, let's get right to it. Start off with Shadow Shinako. So nice, the Shinako. Oh, and I got to tell you, the corn is in. This is being recorded June 20-something. The corn is in. It's not the big, giant, great corn yet. This is merely very, very, very good corn. It's only about 8-9 inches long. When the heat catches up, oh, right around July 4th, oh, they're about a foot long. They're about, oh, as thick as a fist. Oh, that's the good corn. But we can wait. It's whetting our appetite right now. The reason I thought of the corn is when the corn and the Shinako bang together in your mouth, oh, the taste buds shoot off like Roman candles. Okay, we got too much to do. Let's get right in the show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Yeah.
What are you good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What are you good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Say it again, y'all.
From Washington, the McLaughlin Group.
Issue 1 is Iraq, Bush's Vietnam, Pat Buchanan.
The public gradually is moving away from the President of the United States, who has us locked in until victory is won. But I think the White House ought to take this very, very seriously.
Well, the crazy monkey has put America in an impossible situation. He's built his reputation around the fact that he will never, ever, ever change course, no matter what. He stays in for the long haul. It doesn't matter if the road leads nowhere. It doesn't matter if the road goes off a cliff. It doesn't matter if the road leads into an active volcano. He stays the course. He doesn't make corrections. Maybe a little bit like the captain of the Titanic. He's got his agenda in front of him, and nothing's going to change it, no matter how many thousands of lives are thrown into the meat grinder. We got a problem here. If we're stuck in Iraq until he gets voted out of office, we're going to have, what, 4,000 dead in 2 more years? Maybe 5,000 dead by the time he leaves office? Plus, what makes it worse is the Republicans, you know, they are loyal. The Republicans are going to stick with Bush no matter what. If the entire country hates the fuck out of this war, Bush's approval is still going to be around 40% because they're going to stick with him no matter what. Oh, and I get so jealous when I think about the Democrats. They're about as loyal as the wind in Oklahoma in the summer. They will knife their president in the back in a heartbeat. But the Republicans, they'll stick with their guy, and in this instance, that's bad, because they're going to stick with him. But then again, they've got to face re-election. So yeah, we could have a problem for the monkey here. What are the loyal troops going to do when they go home and talk to their constituents and they say, get us the hell out of this war. This is a no-win, idiotic situation. How do we get here? Oh, it's godly Bush. They've got a dilemma on their hands. How do they stick with their president and get reelected? Seems to me they're going to have to either turn on Bush or give up their seat in Congress. Can the Democrats really accidentally back into getting the majority again? Is that possible? And can I say one more thing? I know you're tired of hearing it. I'm tired of saying it. But could we do something about the Diebold voting machines now? Because, you know, these idiot Democrats, they make me look like Einstein with my IQ of 64. The Democrats must have a collective IQ of 13. Because, once again, just like in 2000 and 2004, they're going to wait till the week before the election and say, hey, what about these voting machines? I wonder if we can find a judge to do something. But no, the time to do something is now. Don't wait till the week before the election, you stupid, crazy people. Why don't you do something now about the election? Stand up now and demand free elections that are accountable, and let the Republicans stand up and say, we don't need to be accountable. Let them do that. Force the issue. Call them on it. But no, Mr. Rove wouldn't like that.
Oh, well, what do you think? Are we at a tipping point?
First of all, it's worse than Vietnam, because Vietnam was a tiny country with no strategic importance, and we could declare victory and leave. Iraq is at the nexus of terrorism and oil, and it's a war that we don't know how to win and we can't afford to lose. And the White House response to the tipping point, if you will, in the country, and certainly on Capitol Hill, where people are talking privately now about trying to put more pressure on the administration to come up with some sort of rationale as to how they're going to conduct the war and when and if we're going to be able to get out. The White House's response is the president is going to give speeches on it. I mean, what is he going to say? Stay the course? Have patience? There's light at the end of the tunnel? I mean, the phraseology is going to be very reminiscent of the Vietnam era, and the credibility gap that Lyndon Johnson experienced, because what people see on their television screen and hear from the commanders on the ground is at enormous variance with the happy talk out of the White House.
Wow, go Eleanor. It's not often you hear the simple, unvarnished truth compressed into just a couple of minutes. Eleanor would enjoy buying you a drink of Chinaco Añejo.
Dick Cheney says we're in the final throes of the insurgency.
Dick Cheney is not speaking the truth.
Funny, when Clinton had a girlfriend, he was a bald-faced liar and a scumbag. But when Cheney and his monkey lie 2,000 men into their graves and another 40,000 maimed for life, he merely misspeaks the truth. Jeez. Funny how having a girlfriend gets you harsher condemnation than putting 1,800 soldiers in their graves, maiming 40,000 soldiers, and killing 110,000 Iraqis.
The only one you have that's a little interesting is the chap from North Carolina who was wrong on French fries, and he's wrong now.
Well, how about that? Tony Blankley has decided that French fry bullshit was the wrong road to take. Where you been, Tony? You haven't said that till now. That was a great idea until the guy turned against Bush in his bloody war. Now you're explaining to us how all that Freedom Fries stuff was a bunch of crap. Well, no, it was a bunch of crap then. And once again, where the fuck were the Democrats? Why didn't they do something about that? Do you know if I was in charge of the Democrats and they pulled that French stuff, do you know how much I would make them eat that again and again? They would be on their knees begging, okay, Bart, you won. You made the point. Okay, we're going to stop. No more of that Freedom Fry bullshit. Okay, you win. I could have made them do that. I could have made them say that in a week. I would have had them begging me, okay, you win. It's so easy to make 100 jokes about they're not only kissing Bush's ass, they're French kissing Bush's ass. I mean, again and again, you just run it down their throats. You teach them, don't you come up with any cutesy phrase, because you know if you do, Bart's going to turn around, he's going to make you suck on it in front of everybody. Everybody's going to see that, so you might as well save yourself the humiliation up front and don't even try to pull that shit. But no, the Democrats don't want to be mean. That might not please Mr. Rove, so they remain silent while the whole world watched America go fuck crazy over that French shit. And the French were right. They told us don't go in there. They said there's no reason to. They said, why don't you try a little diplomacy? Why don't you try something besides violence? Why don't you try something besides brute force? But no, not America, not under Bush. He sees something he wants, he takes it. And the Democrats, they stand there and let them, and the rest of the world, what choice do they have? All they can do is stand there and watch us and wonder what the hell happened to America. What was once the beacon of liberty and hope is now the beacon of tyranny.
president is not going to get out. So he's got two choices. He can escalate and try to win this thing and change the situation, or continue along the present course. And I thought the present course after the election seemed to be going well, but we are now in the same rotten situation we were before the election, with casualties at the same rate, more hits on the Iraqis, the Iraqis not taken over. He can't go down this road indefinitely, or he will lose the 2006 election.
Yes, the dilemma the monkey faces is this. If he suddenly decides to win this war, he might have to put in another 100,000 troops. I don't know if we have 100,000 troops, but we're going to have to overwhelm Iraq if we have a chance to get out. Well, a little sidebar. What we need is the UN to put their people in there. With the UN's help, we might be able to get some troops from Jordan or Kuwait or Egypt or who knows in there to help. But then again, are they Islamic? Would they help? But we can't get out without a lot more troops, and Bush won't put more troops in because that'll prove that Rummy screwed up by going in with his just 100 and a quarter, 150, whatever it was, when all the generals, all the top generals told him, no, you need 250, you need 300, 400 if you're going to go in there. There's 25 million people. How are you going to control 25 million people with 150,000 troops? Can't be done. But maybe with 300,000, 400,000 it can. But Bush said, no, we know a better way. We don't want to hear from you, Pentagon. What do you guys know about running a war? Rummy knows everything. Rummy never makes mistakes. Neither do I. So there's no reason to listen to anybody else. God is telling me to invade Iraq, so we're just following God's plan. This is what happens when you get a religiously insane monkey and you put the lives of young men in his hands. Yeah, let God decide. That's a great idea. God, our commander-in-chief. No wonder we're losing this war.
The human toll. U.S. military dead in Iraq, including suicides, 1,717. U.S. military amputeed, wounded, injured, mentally ill, all now out of Iraq, 41,100.
Can you believe that? Can you believe 41,000 men missing arms, legs, eyes, their memories, their personalities? 41,000 men. Got a little visual for you. If I'm not mistaken, Fenway Park, home of the world champion Boston Red Sox. Whoever thought you'd hear that? That stadium only holds 36,000 people. The next time you see a Red Sox game on TV, let that pop into your head that you can't fit all the men missing arms and legs and eyes and memories into Fenway Park. Picture that. Picture row after row, dozens and hundreds and thousands of men, one after another, missing body parts, all because Bush wanted to steal some oil. They knew that he had no WMD, that fuck Saddam, we're taking him out. That's not how you protect America. I see a guy I don't like. I see a guy who has something I want. So we're going to throw more than a stadium's worth of arms and legs at the guy. Not to mention the 1,800 dead. The soon-to-be 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 dead. 5,000 military funerals. And Bush is too busy to go to one. He can make it to the NASCAR race, though. Think of an entire stadium full of men. Think of those men sitting in that stadium with their crutches, with their back braces, with their therapist holding their hand because they can't remember who they are. They don't know what baseball is. They forgot what their wife looks like. They can't tell you how many kids they got because Bush saw something he wanted, and Bush was never told no in his whole life, and look what we got as a result. Shame on the Democrats for letting this happen, too. Why the hell won't somebody stand up and say enough? Why doesn't somebody do that?
Exit question. How long can the commander-in-chief hold out before he must begin a phased withdrawal? Pat Buchanan.
He will hold out until the 2006 election.
Oh, Jesus. Another 17 months of pushing young boys into a meat grinder? All because Bush doesn't want to say, I made a mistake. Mr. Can't make a mistake. Mr. Never made a mistake. Mr. Wouldn't do anything different because he's always perfect. Another 17 months of this? Wouldn't it be nice if either the Democrats or the media would decide, all the newspapers in this country, all the radio stations, all the news magazines, the whatever, 4 or 5 major networks, the 10 networks if you count the cable Nazis, and nobody will say, maybe this war is wrong. Maybe we ought to rethink. Maybe we ought to regroup. Maybe we ought to stop. Nobody will say that because they want to be on Bush's good side, get their tax cut, get their mergers put together. They don't care how many thousands of men die. They don't care how many tens of thousands of men lose their arms, their legs, their eyes, and their memories because they want a merger, because they want that extra nickel. Because in America, it's not worth it to be a millionaire. No, you got to have $1,000,010, so we'll sacrifice some men. Jesus. America has no more soul. We've traded our soul for a few extra dollars. Another thing I'm confused about, and I'm pretty sure this is true, but who is the most hated person in America right now? And I guess your first, well, no, not Bush. We're talking about outside the political spectrum. Who is the most hated person in America? You'd probably have to start with Scott Peterson. And I think right after Scott Peterson, you have Paris Hilton. And I'm not sure I understand why. What has Paris Hilton ever done to anybody to earn the kind of overall coast-to-coast hatred that's come down on her? I fail to see it. I mean, there's a lot of people in this world or in this country who are rich and famous who don't deserve it. And there are people who I don't like. Tom Cruise, Tiger Woods, you know, there's people like that, but I certainly don't hate them. I certainly wouldn't stay up late figuring ways to take them down, but there's a lot of people who just live and breathe hatred for Paris Hilton. I saw in the TV Guide, you know, they had their cheers and jeers. On the TV Guide, it said, jeers to Paris Hilton for her embarrassingly obvious commercials. I don't even understand what embarrassingly obvious means in this context, but her embarrassingly obvious commercials for Carl's Jr.'s fast food restaurants, sudsing up a Bentley, not to mention herself, and biting into a burger, Hilton's as hot as a raw piece of meat. Well, clearly the writer for TV Guide hates her. I mean, just some irrational hatred towards a woman who's young, beautiful, skinny, and rich. I mean, sorry. I guess maybe she could carve her face up or gain 50 pounds or something to be more loved. Is that what we're expecting of our young, beautiful starlets, whatever Paris is? If you haven't seen the commercial, it's really hot. And it's so hot that they can't play it on TV, but it's nothing more. She's not even in a bikini. She's in a... Oh, if you have a TV Guide from last week, you saw the picture, but it's kind of a one-piece thing that shows a little midriff, you know what I mean? And, yeah, she's washing a car. You know, little cyber, I never have understood what is so sexy about a woman washing a car, other than you get her top wet and you get to see a little nipple. I mean, duh. If you're past the age of 16 or 18, if you own an internet connection, you've probably seen a nipple before. But for some reason, for men, washing a car has always been a giant turn-on. I missed that day in class. But so she's soaping up this Bentley, and at the end of the commercial, she takes a bite out of the burger, and people were outraged. How dare this filth get on television? My God, can the empire stand? Will the republic make it one more day if this commercial is allowed to be seen by anybody? I mean, considering... you know, my default is Fear Factor, where they make you eat the anus of a pig. That's okay. But God forbid a beautiful young skinny woman in a bathing suit gets some suds on her. Now that's an outrage, and we all must be very, very pissed off. I'm just not sure I see it. And it gets worse as always. Mrs. Bart told me she saw a thing. I just half heard it. You know how it is when you're married to someone. Something about some magazine or TV show, whatever, asked for which TV show do you never want to see again. And either close to the top or at the top was I Want to Be a Hilton, which has not aired yet. The hatred for Paris Hilton is so great that possibly the number one show that we never ever want to see has not been on yet. Nobody has had even the slightest chance to reject this show yet, but we so hate Paris Hilton that we're just going to transfer some of that hate to her mom, who's a real fine-looking 50-year-old lady, I might add, but we just must hate them. We must. Now, of course, we love George Bush, who never worked a day in his life and had everything given to him. Hell, at least Paris Hilton's got a job. She's got several jobs. She actually works. But the monkey, all he did was drink till he was 40 years old, and then they gave him the state of Texas, and then the nation, and then the world. That's all he's done in his life. But this transfer of hate, now I want you to hear, okay, we've established TV Guide hates Paris Hilton, as does most of the country. Well, let me ask you, between Paris Hilton and Scott Peterson, which is more evil? Sometimes I forget. Because Paris Hilton is just so totally evil. But in the Tuesday, I guess this is today, is Tuesday. Today's U.S. Whore Today. Robert Bianco, the TV critic, who I like as a rule, he generally has his finger on the right buttons. He invested his entire column for hating this Hilton show. I'm going to read it to you, but it's very short. It's probably 100 words. But I can see why somebody might covet Paris or Mama Kathy Hilton's money. What I can't understand is why cash alone would make anyone say, I want to be a Hilton tonight on NBC, the premiere that we're already sick and tired of, but no one's seen it yet. The goal of this repulsive apprentice-style salute to clash snobbishness and sickening acquisitiveness, a new word for me, is to make some regular folks fit into New York society by teaching them to, quote, live up to the standards of New York's elite. Now, for some reason, it's okay for the Donald to treat a bunch of people. I never have seen that show either, but apparently, the way I understand, he barks a bunch of orders at a bunch of people, and at the end he says, you're fired, and it was like a big show for a year. And now that they're wanting to clone it, this is evil. It's got the Hilton name attached to it. It's just so awful. Even if you assume that the real elite counts such low-watt NBC family celebrities as Queer Eye's Ted Allen and Access Hollywood's Billy Bush among their number, how hard can it be to meet their standards? If Paris can do it, who couldn't? Then again, given her children's propensity for improper public displays, it's even harder to imagine anyone listening to Kathy's etiquette lectures with a straight face, particularly when she tells a girl, you have to be at least a little careful with the sexuality. Where other mothers might blanch at the behavior that made Paris famous, you know, a semi-rare, straight-out fuck you to Robert Bianco. All right, let me finish. We'll come right back. Where other mothers might blanch at the behavior that made Paris famous, Kathy apparently sees it as a stepping stone to her own stardom. As though Kathy Hilton sent her daughter out to blow a guy on camera so Kathy Hilton could get more money or more fame. That's what this son of a bitch is implying here. That she ordered her daughter to pick up a drunken sailor on the corner and blow the guy for a camera so they could sell the tape to NBC so Kathy could get on TV. That's what this guy's saying, and I don't understand. He's blinded by hate. I've never been this blind. There's some people I don't like, but I've never been this blind. To accuse the family of this. Okay, finishing up. It goes to prove what they say about apples, trees, and the falling distance. My only hope is all involved will be sentenced to spend next year on a new show, I Want to Be Mother Teresa, which I guess he's trying to be clever, but it just didn't work. Now, that leads us into the bigger question. I guess it's kind of a Janet Jackson thing. You, the listener, will have to decide, did Paris produce that videotape of her in having sex with this Rick Solomon guy? It's my opinion that she did not. It's my opinion that she did something stupid. And the tape, I'm guessing, 3-4 years old, maybe just a couple, 2-3 years old. But, you know, she's 24 now. So when she was 20, 21, she did something stupid with a man she trusted. If the penalty for doing something stupid is worldwide hatred and scorn and ridicule, my God, I'm 51. I did some stupid shit last week. Granted, I did it with my pants on, but everybody screws up. When she was a little kid, and by little kid I'm talking early 20s, or 19, I don't know. She could have been 18, I just don't know. But she made a mistake, I think, when she trusted this Rick Solomon guy. And the minute they broke up, he ran with this tape to the internet and plastered it as far and wide as he could. And for some reason, I don't know if it's just a double standard or if Rick Solomon's some big thing, but now he somehow is the toast of Hollywood. Don't know if you keep up with your celebrity news, and I don't necessarily, but if it's in the paper, I glance at a headline. Everybody's super favorite actor, Leonardo DiCaprio, was at a Rick Solomon party, and somebody hit him in the head with a beer bottle, and he took, I think they said, 50 stitches, which is a hell of a deal. Got him behind the ear, so it wasn't like it marked up his gorgeous little face. But somehow, this hatred that we just hate the Hiltons to death, somehow it's all fallen on her, who I feel, it's my opinion, was taken advantage of. Meanwhile, the scumbag son of a bitch who took the video and then played it all over the world, who betrayed her that way, I don't know, that's pretty goddamn low to me. Taping yourself having sex is a stupid thing to do, especially with someone that you don't trust or wherever. I don't know where I'm going here, but you know what I'm saying. For that to be the reason we hate this woman, maybe I can understand part of that, but to celebrate the bastard who betrayed her while hating her somehow doesn't add up. And I know she's got lots of money, she's got lots of PR people, she doesn't need me to defend her. I'm just saying, I don't understand why it is so important for TV Guide, USA Today, whoever else wants to stand in line and spend a whole lot of money to dedicate their time and their precious inches in their paper to hating Paris Hilton and the Hilton family. If you pointed out to me what wrong thing she or they did besides make a lot of money, then hey, maybe I'll join you. Maybe I'll turn right around and be the Mr. Super Paris Hilton hater tomorrow. But as far as I know, she's a young girl, did a stupid thing, and now she's paying for it, and I just don't see why. The scumbag who betrayed her, he's a big time Hollywood, let's all go to Rick's party. But Paris, oh, just throw her out. That's yesterday's trash. Paris Hilton, the girl whose mother sent her out to suck cock so they could tape it, so mom could get on TV. Oh, I am disgusted. How dare they do that to someone who is apparently innocent? Again, if you know what she did, if you know what her crime is, you know my address. BarkCop@BarkCop.com. I'd sure like to hear it.
Face the Nation, Democratic Senator Joe Biden talked about a 2008 White House run.
I know I'm supposed to be more coy with you. I know I'm supposed to tell you, you know, that I'm not sure. But if, in fact, I think that I have a clear shot of winning the nomination by this November or December, then I'm going to seek the nomination. I conclude that I'm not likely to be able to win the nomination, then I'm going to figure out who to support.
You're unbelievable. You're so unbelievable.
Senator Joe Biden, Pink Tutu, Delaware. I can't imagine our party wanting to slit our own throat three elections in a row. Of course, the Democrats do some way crazy shit, so it's hard to predict. But please, get out of the race. Please, get out of the Senate. Once you find one of those corporate whores you've been blowing and go to work for him, or better yet, why don't you turn Republican? That way you could be honest and you could vote with W and not have to disguise it all the time about the reasons you did it. Please, Senator Biden, go away. You remember you ran back in 88, but you plagiarized some guy's story from England. Oh, I grew up in a coal mine. Oh, it was so terrible there. Oh, I had to try so hard. Way to go, Joe. What a goddamn idiotic thing to do. If I was running for leftwing.com humor site, I wouldn't steal somebody's story and pretend it was mine. And you ran for president with a false story. You idiot. You need to be a Republican. You're a liar and a fraud and a coward, Joe. Please stay out of this race. Please get out of the Senate. Please go away. Please disappear. We don't want you anymore. The only thing you're good for is worshiping W, and we got too much of that already. Please go away, go away, go away, Joe Biden.
We'll be right back with Bart Cop Radio.